The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, working with the world's leading broadcasters and equipment suppliers to transform industry standard technologies and workflows.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up on this week's podcast from Radio Today, we're going to find out about Times Radio, the new station from Wireless and News UK, which will launch later this year. The launch director Stig Abel and Wireless speech controller Liam Fisher are going to be on with us in a while to tell us all about it. We've got a special guest coming up with me and Roy very soon. And in David Lloyd's Radio Moments, it's Happy Birthday Desert Island Discs. There's a look back at some radio stunts and remembering Sir Terry Wogan, who died this week 4 years ago.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Nick Hazard.
But first, Radio Today's founder and editor, my boss, apparently, according to Ian Dale. No, he is. Roy Martin is here to look through the big stories of the week. Hello, Roy.
Hey, Stu. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be here in your company, boss. I don't know if you can tell, but I've had a bit of man flu this week, so I was almost going to call in sick and let you do it yourself, but we'll see how far I get with the voice.
The listeners don't want to hear about that. My program director always used to tell me, however ill you're feeling, never mention it, because the listeners don't care.
Yeah, but when you sound bad, you can explain it, haven't you?
Hey, you sound bad every week. There's an old Martin Kellner joke. Happy birthday this week to Tony Blackburn, 77 today, Wednesday, as we record this. We had hoped to get him on the podcast this week, mainly to talk about his new podcast. You know, podcasts are big when even Tony Blackburn's got one.
But 77, is that his showbiz age?
No, that's his real age, apparently. 77, yeah. WABC.
He's doing very well for himself, isn't he? 77, goodness me, I had him down as older.
Well, he's doing all right. He's still doing 5 or 6 shows a week as well, all over the place. And I think that's why he's been so busy this week. We couldn't get him on the podcast. But he's got a new podcast with Ricky Wilson from the Kaiser Chiefs called Pop Detectives. The first episode came out this week, and I've had a little listen, and it's quite good. Give it a go. But yeah, so Tony Blackburn ventures into the world of podcasting at 77. Who'd have thought it?
Who'd have thought? There must be a future in it after all.
So the big story this week, Roy, after all the speculation, we've talked about it on this podcast as well, Times Radio is happening, and the big surprise, it's not replacing talk radio, that's staying as well.
Yeah, so this is quite a big commitment, and it's surprising that it's not Wireless doing this. It's Wireless with the Times and the Sunday Times, so it's not just a radio group doing a radio station. It's pretty much a newspaper doing a radio station. And as we're going to hear on this podcast later, if I'm correct, most of it will actually be live radio as well.
Yeah, I was thinking the Times have got a lot of podcasts. They've just announced another big high-profile one this week. We were thinking they're just going to put out podcasts on this radio station. But as Stig and Liam tell me later on, they're hoping to have 20 hours live when the station starts later this year. So that's very exciting.
And it's obviously going for a different demo to talk radio, because that's going to continue. That's going to continue with the showbiz pap. And this is going to be obviously for the more upmarket listener, shall we say.
Yeah, speaking of which, Eamon Holmes has gone from talk radio this week, replaced by Dan Wootton from The Sun and The Sun on Sunday. There's your downmarket tabloid stuff on talk radio in the nicest possible way.
Eamon just wasn't scruffy enough, so they got Dan on. That's what's happening.
I'm sure he's a lovely bloke. Right, let's talk about something else, moving on swiftly. So we're going to hear more about Times Radio later on this podcast. Let's talk about Bauer for a minute, because there's a few things going on at Bauer. And as we launch this podcast today, some news from Scotland. They're going to introduce some more networking. So Drive Time is going to be networked. Gary Spence, who joined from Capital, is going to not only be on Clyde One, as it was announced, but he's also going to be on Forth One, North Sound One, Tay and West FM as well.
So basically Bauer Scotland doing what Bauer England did in the last couple of years, and networking all programmes outside of breakfast, apart from a couple of stations, as you mentioned there. So, yeah, it's the way it's going. Bauer, this is another announcement from Bauer, well, twice in two big announcements in 1 week, with the closure of St. Paul's Square in Preston. So it looks like Bauer are really ramping things up this year, and with the CMA announcement due in the next couple of months, this could be Bauer's year.
Interesting times. So the CMA stuff you mentioned, we had some documents this week about that, and we learned a few things, mainly that Bauer has some proposals for First Radio sales clients and the deal that they're going to offer them, and that some of those clients, or most of them actually, that responded to the CMA have actually said, yeah, we'd be happy to be represented by Bauer for our national sales. A few weren't particularly happy, and there were some interesting responses from some other media owners, including Global, who pretty much took the opportunity to have a go at the CMA, it seemed.
Indeed, and we did learn from the documents that Bauer is prepared to sell Signal 107. They'd rather sell it on its own, as it was the Wolf back in the day, but it will sell it with the other three licenses that make up the station. Also in the documents, did you see this? Credible Media, which owns The Revolution in Oldham and a newspaper in Oldham, spoke to Bauer about buying Signal and about buying some other random radio stations as well, not that other radio stations are for sale.
They said in their document they would be interested in Signal 107, but they also mentioned Wish, Wire and Tower, and said, if Bauer's happy to sell those old wireless stations, we might have those as well, which would fit quite nicely with the Rev, I guess.
It would. They're all in the same approved area, so they could literally bang out one station from Oldham across Warrington, Wigan and Bolton. So, yeah, whether they would do that or not, it's not going to happen because they're not going to get the stations because they're not for sale.
No.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a bit of a strange thing to put, but some insight into what's been going on with all these discussions. I'm sure there's many more as well that we will never know about.
And you mentioned at St Paul's Square for the anoraks, they'll know that that means Rock FM in Preston. Tell us what's happening there, Roy.
Yeah, this was, it was rumoured towards the back end of last year, and it's probably on one of my predictions as well, that Bauer are getting rid of the big building in the centre of Preston, the big church, the Rocking Church, as it was affectionately known, which launched Red Rose Radio in 1982 and has been home to almost 40 years of broadcasting. It used to house two full-time radio stations, 24/7, a massive newsroom, a big admin, sales, management operation, basically how radio stations ran in the 80s and 90s. And these days it's simply a few sales staff, I'm guessing, and a couple of breakfast show presenters. So you don't need it. They can do the show from Manchester. That's not a big issue these days. And the sales staff, they'll get a nice little office somewhere in Preston. So it's the end of an era in Preston. It was amazing reading the responses on Twitter and on social media. It's like people had lost a loved one. It's like all the affection for that building. It's just amazing. And quite rightly too, because there's so many fond memories. And I've shared a memory as well on e-radio this morning about being a snotty 12-year-old as opposed to a snotty 41-year-old going into the station and asking for car stickers and hoping to see the presenters and things like that. We all did it, didn't we? And Rock FM was my local station. So, yeah, sad times, but, things do change. And as a good friend of ours says, change is inevitable apart from vending machines.
Talking of change, keep an eye on radio today. This week, by the time you hear this, it might have been announced already. Some news coming from the BBC on Wednesday, from BBC News in particular, about cost savings. This has been much talked about in some of the papers over the last few days as well. We heard about some things happening with TV, with Victoria Derbyshire's TV show. We're going to hear about some more cuts across BBC News, possibly affecting Five Live, Radio 4 and some other news programmes across the BBC as well. So keep an eye for that. And some change happening in Australia. Have you seen this, Roy? Last night as we record this, I saw a tweet from the OC, Christine O'Connell. His show is getting networked. He's just been on in Melbourne, but he's going to be on in Sydney and Perth and Brisbane and Adelaide as well.
That's great. How's that? We can go into the technicals of how it works with time shifting and everything, but good work, OC. Well done. Onwards and upwards. They're obviously taking to him in Australia.
Absolutely. Some sad news this week with the death of Nicholas Parsons. What an age, 96. An absolute legend. And in fact, Radio Today spoke to him and called him a legend when he picked up the Gold Award at the Sonys back in 2012. This is our man Simon Conway, now at LBC, who spoke to Nicholas Parsons and indeed called him a legend.
I think if you live long enough, people start to use that word. But I have been consistently working for, you know, nearly 70 years now, and it's amazing. But I do believe that if you keep working, if you keep using your brain, if you keep using your memory, it keeps you going, and you can survive longer.
And that's not just in radio, that's in everything.
Everything,
you do.
Everything you do, everything. Because I do a lot of theatre work and a lot of other things, but this is something incredibly special. And as I said, when I got up, I'm lost for words. It's not usually that I'm lost for words. I usually think of something to say, but on this occasion, the words fail me.
And where does this go? Where does this go when you take it home? Where does it sit?
Well, I'll have to find a mantelpiece for it somewhere. The only thing to say is that the old day, the awards were much more artistic and creative. These are rather solid and so forth. And I've got another one I got for just a minute a few years ago, and people look at it and say, what's that bit of glass on the mantelpiece? But this will have a place of honour. 80 years of here.
Well, the Gold Award goes to you, Nicholas Parsons. Congratulations and many thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
The late, great Nicholas Parsons talking to Radio Today. 8 years ago when he picked up his Lifetime Achievement Award at the Sonys, he's died this week, aged 96. Some other stories on Radio Today that .co.uk this week that you will find about the British Podcast Awards. They're back for 2020, moving to the Roundhouse in Camden in May. And also Radio 1's big weekend is going to Dundee this year. That's happening in May as well. It's all happening in May.
Fancy a trip to Scotland, Stu?
Do I need a passport to get to Dundee?
Technically, no. Let's go.
Yeah, maybe they heard that TAFM is networking its Drive Time show and is only going to have one local programme. They thought Radio 1's going to come to town, we'll clean up here.
That's the exact reason they chose Dundee. That's exactly what happened.
That's what Radio 1 used to do in the 80s when new ILR stations were launching. They used to go and do big road shows and go into town for the week and things. Take their listeners away. Other stuff coming
I'm sure
up.
They did.
Yeah, other stuff coming up. We got the Arias on. See, I'm saying it properly now. Arias on the 4th of March at the London Palladium. And also the Radio Days Europe Festival. Of course, more names being announced all the time for that. That's happening at the end of March in Lisbon. If you not get your tickets, get those sorted, and we will see you there in Lisbon.
Yeah, fantastic. Just a second. Let me just make a phone call. Let me see if it's... You said Tony wasn't available, didn't you?
Yeah. Can you
was
get
it him that said that or his manager?
It was his manager. Can you get him for us?
Yeah. Hang on a second. Let me just...
Hello.
Hi, Tony. It's Stuart and Roy from Radio Today.
Oh, hello, Roy.
Hi, Tony.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. It's your birthday
today, so we thought we'd give you a quick ring.
It yes.
I think Roy's got a jingle to play for you as well.
Oh.
Here we go.
Happy birthday, Tony Blackburn.
That's very nice, thank you.
No expenses spent there, Tony.
Lovely.
So, Tony, tell us about this new podcast. We thought if Tony Blackburn has got a podcast, it means podcasts have made it at last. Tell us why you've decided to do a podcast.
Well, I met Ricky Wilson a little while ago at Radio 2, and we just got on like a house on fire. It's a very strange thing that, you know, Ricky and I, from two different sort of sides of the music business, I suppose, in a way, but we just hit it off, and we just managed to sit down and talk absolute nonsense together. And we just get on well. And somebody came up with the idea at Universal, I think it was, doing pop detectives, and we solve pop mysteries together. And it just seemed to work. And we've done about, I think, 7 or 8 of them now. And I gather they've gone into the iTunes charts, and they seem to be doing very well. And we want to do some more together as well. If they do well, we'll do some more. I know Ricky's very keen to, and we just hit it off. You know, he's such a nice guy, and we just love doing them.
And I've listened to the first one, which came out this week, and it's fascinating, the kind of chat. It's not something we hear you talking about usually, this kind of stuff.
No, it's serious pop detecting, obviously, you know, but there is a certain amount of humour about it in between. But we are serious about getting these mysteries solved, obviously. But in the course of it, we have a bit of fun. And we particularly have guests on the show that come from America. I don't know what it is about the Americans. I think they're nuts.
but the amazing thing is that you found time to do this, because you're still doing, what, 5 or 6 shows a week, and you're on tour at the moment as well?
Yeah, I work for 4 radio stations, And we are doing the Sound of the Sixties tour, which is an eight-piece band and a couple of singers. And I come out and talk about the 60s. And we were meant to finish that. We've taught it. We're into our second year now. We do one or two a week. And then, you know, we travel around all over the country. We're particularly going to the north of England this year. But it was meant to finish at Christmas, but loads of people are coming out to see it. We're filling the theatres up. So Leo Green, who's the musical director, he said, do you want to continue doing it? I said, absolutely. You know, having great fun with it. And after we've done the show, it's a three-hour show. Afterwards, I go into the foyer and meet everybody. And we have selfies done and things like that. It's a lot of fun. But I just enjoy what I'm doing. You know, I mean, a lot of people say, where do I get the energy from? I don't know, really. I don't sleep very much, thank God. And so that helps.
Is it five shows a week, I think you do? Is it three, four at the BBC and one for KMFM?
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, I do two shows at the BBC. I do one at BBC Radio Berkshire, one at Radio London, and I do one at KMFM in Kent. So I do those. And well, the podcast, we fitted in nicely. You know, Ricky's on tour. He's terribly busy. And so we just had a little bit of time before Christmas, I think it was, to do these. And we did two at a time, but we found that doing one was the best thing, because we sit down and just chat away for about a couple of hours or so. And I think we give them around about, I don't know, somewhere in the region about 2.5 to 3 hours, and they edit it down from there, plus the phone calls that we do as well. So it's a lot of fun to do. But we now do one at a time, because we found that we were getting muddled up with some of the mysteries that we were solving. So if you can imagine, we didn't, halfway through one of them, we didn't know which one we were solving.
Yeah, that might be quite tricky. Well, thank you. We'll let you get back to your birthday celebrations.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I gather the flags are out over the BBC, and we're trying to turn it into a national holiday. Next year, perhaps, rather like an August bank holiday or something, and turning it into that. I think that's what the public wants.
Just whilst you've been speaking, I've just put this one together for you. How about this one? This is Tony Blackburn.
Happy birthday to you from all of us at the crew.
There you go.
That's fantastic.
Just for you, Tony.
Fantastic. How are you doing, always?
It's magic. It's the magic of radio.
It's magic.
Don't mention magic. He's not on that one anymore.
No, not on that one. No. That's very nice of you. Those jingles are fantastic. Yeah, I love them. Yeah.
Thank you for coming on, Tony, and good luck with your podcast. And,
thank you very much, and good luck with yours as well.
Fabulous.
Nice talking to you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
This is the Radio Today programme, and as we mentioned earlier, News UK have confirmed plans for Times Radio, which is going to be a new additional DAB station launching later this year. And I'm delighted to say on the podcast we've got Stig Abel, who's the launch director for Times Radio, and Liam Fisher, the national speech controller for Wireless. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Stuart.
Hello. So, Stig, first of all, this sounds very exciting. We've heard quite a lot of rumours about it, but now it's actually happening. What can you tell us? What's going to be the main thing about Times Radio?
Yeah, it is quite exciting. It's quite nice to talk about it in public. I mean, this idea has been knocking around for a while, but the idea is to create a standalone national radio station that embodies the qualities of the Times, that exists to show off some of the values of the Times, but stands alone apart from that. So it's going to have a tone of voice that is identifiably related to the Times, but it's going to exist as a standalone national broadcast station that we hope people will turn to for a kind of intelligent, warm, witty conversation that's useful. I'm really taken by this idea of usefulness when you're dealing with the issues of the day, with everything that's going on in the full breadth of what we mean by current affairs. So I want people to be able to tune into this station, get consistent tone throughout the day, and then actually, if they stop and listen for a bit, get stuff that's useful to them, information, opinions that challenge them, but don't shout at them. You know, we have an opportunity to go a bit against the discourse of the day, I think, and do something that's sort of thoughtful and intelligent. And like I said, useful is kind of a key word that keeps sort of occurring to me.
And Liam, I think one of the things that surprised a lot of people in the industry was they were thinking from the rumours this was going to replace talk radio. So tell us from a kind of wireless strategy point of view how this will fit alongside talk, because talk is going to stay.
Yeah, talk radio will continue, and I think that's a testament to where talk radio has found itself. It's benefited, as others have, from the sort of national discourse over the past kind of 12 months and before that as well. And the radio station has consistently been breaking records in terms of reach and hours, and the forecast would be that hopefully next week that will continue as well. So actually, from a place of having to make that decision and sort of what the future is for talk radio, in the end it was a very easy one, because it's doing fantastically well. And what that is recognizing is that there is a space, since we've moved into that building, to visualize radio far more than we were able to do previously. And we're currently streaming shows for Julia and for Mike Graham and other programs, and seeing massive success of those already without really publicizing and really kind of getting behind it in the full machine that we can do to promote that. So I think actually it's been an easy decision in the end. And then for us, the challenge is to just make sure that there is kind of clear differential between what talk radio is doing and what Times Radio is doing. And we believe that actually they can serve two audiences, two speech radio audiences.
So Stig, how far down the planning are you? Do you know if it's going to be live programs all day? Are you going to have kind of recorded segments? I think some of the papers have been kind of calling it a rival for Radio 4, and obviously a lot of Radio 4's output is pre-recorded programs made by independent production companies or made in-house. So is it that kind of model, or is it more like the talk radio model?
It's more like that. It's going to be predominantly a live station. I think probably 20 hours of the day rather than 24 to begin with is what we're currently envisaging. I think what we're going to do here is we're going to do a live radio station which has presenter-led big blocks. But what we need to do is to build into that repeatable features and formats. So it has some of the targeted program feel that you get elsewhere, but it's also within the context of a presenter-led arrangement. So it's similar in that sense to talk or to Five Live. But the idea, I think, is very exciting, is we can make use of some of the Times talent, some of the Times range. The Times and the Sunday Times together have a great global footprint. They have correspondents from all over the world. And I'm very struck by the possibility of having formats within a three-hour program that at a certain time of the day, you're going to get half an hour that you come to expect. And that can be repeatable. It can be also then brought out into the podcast world in itself and have another audience there. So it's a live radio station. One of the things we're very keen to be is agile. So if the news is changing, if stuff is happening, we want to be able to respond to it appropriately. But we also want to allow people to follow their nose a bit. I mean, a lot of radio is very, very rigorously programmed because they've got points that they can't avoid hitting. When you've got lots of pre-recorded programming, you can't go over by a minute because it screws up the whole schedule. We don't want that to happen. I think one of the joys of Times Radio at its best will be people pursuing their interests and hopefully the listeners' interests in novel directions based on curiosity. So it will be live. It will have a certain informality about it. I think one of the great developments in audio in the last 5 years from podcasts is the rise of informality. And as a great scruffy individual myself, I prize informality almost above everything else. And so I think clever informality is a lovely tone to strike. So you don't take yourself too seriously. But when you need to talk about serious stuff, people will stop and listen. And I think that's really critical with what we need to do with Times Radio.
And obviously the Times newspaper and the Sunday Times and the various supplements that it has are producing a lot of content. So you'll be relying on some of those themes and some of the specialists that you've got within the Times, I guess, to point you in the right direction.
Exactly. But also from a business point of view, this is not a substitutional product for the papers, because our model in the end, we want people to become warm to the concept of the Times and the Sunday Times. We're not just going to put the Times and the Sunday Times on radio. We're not just going to think, here's a whole bunch of stuff, it can immediately be read out effectively for the radio. We don't believe that at all. This is a national speech live radio station that takes advantage of the assets of the Times and the Sunday Times, but also stands alone. It will feature people who have no connection to the Times and the Sunday Times at all.
And also, Stuart, I mean, some journalists can be broadcasters, some journalists want to be broadcasters, but by the same token, this first and foremost is a radio station. It needs to have people that know the skill and can learn the skill and have the willingness to learn how to do radio. Not everybody is able to kind of do that. So that, first and foremost, has to be what we're priding ourselves in the schedule of this radio station.
And you'll know, Liam, from doing talk radio, that speech programmes are not cheap compared to a lot of music programming. So presumably you've got a decent budget to make this work and give a real go of it.
It's challenging. Talk radio is challenging enough. And this is probably more challenging, given not least that it's going to be ad break free as well. So we've got that, you know, we've got more output to be able to offer, and more output to be able to fill up with quality programming as well. So it will be a challenge, but as Stig quite rightly points out, that, you know, we do have the resources, we do have a team of very knowledgeable journalists and columnists to draw on as well, and that's what we'll be maximizing.
And I think the press release mentioned high-profile presenters, and obviously that's what's going to draw some audience in for you. We've seen a lot of BBC people moving to commercial radio. Presumably you can't name any names at this stage, but you're talking to people who are high-profile, I guess.
We are. I think what I'm saying is there'll be people presenting on this station that currently have no connection to this building at the moment. And we want the best presenters who are going to... We also have a very clear tone of voice. I think one of the virtues, because we're starting from scratch, we can say with clarity what we think this the feel of the station should be. I think consistency is going to be really important in this station, but we can set that out, and then we can find voices and personalities and approaches that fit this tone of voice, this sort of expert driven warm, witty, like I said, slightly informal, and we can go out and find people who fit that. And so the idea will be, when you turn on at any time of the day or night, you're going to get different voices, and hopefully you can get a plurality of voices, but there's a sort of underlying connection that links everything together.
And obviously you've hired Tim Lavelle from Five Live, who's won some awards for his work on the Emma Barnett show. That's obviously a key hire for you guys.
Yeah, he's great. I loved him. I think he's been it's been good fun starting off working with him. Or the idea of working with him, I think, is something that excites us all. We think he's going to be a real good asset to us. So our conversations with him when we approached him were very positive. And I think when he comes along into the building, he's going to be a real asset. I think he's a good indicator of where the station's going.
And finally, I suppose, Liam, people in the industry will be saying, you know, is there room for another speech radio station? We've got Five Live, Radio 4, LBC, Talk. There's a lot of competition already for the years of people who want speech radio.
There is, but there's not nearly as much speech radio stations out there as there is music radio stations. And we've seen the way that's been going in recent years. There's been more and more popping up. I think actually there's more room for more speech radio stations. I think podcasts have been hugely successful, but linear radio still very much has its place. People want to be able to connect at certain points, be that whether it's sport, be that news, be that lifestyle, be that a kind of huge event that's taking place. And I believe both Times and Talk Radio, along with the other radio stations, have a place in actually offering listeners that opportunity to sample different radio stations as it should be. And I think there's arguably a market for more as well.
And I guess the going ad free, as Virgin has done in its first year or so, is the thing to try and get listeners from the BBC, which evidently this is what this is about. Yeah,
I think there's also a golden age of radio. I kind of do believe that, and this is a great opportunity for the whole industry. You know, this should create more jobs, more place for talent, both in production and on air, to go to. And that should benefit the kind of broader ecosystem for people. You know, I really want there to be opportunity for folks wherever they currently work to come here and do something brilliant, because it's not often the chance you get in at the ground floor for something and you can shape it. And so I think this is a real positive industry move, and it reflects this belief that radio is in very, very good health at the minute. And I think everyone we speak to in our building and elsewhere kind of testifies to that.
Well, it's all very exciting. We look forward to hearing more about it over the coming weeks as well, and presuming it's going to launch before the summer at some point.
Well, we haven't got a date that we're going to give anyone yet, but we're working very, very quickly. That's why Liam has the haunted look that you can't see at the minute.
Soon enough. Don't worry, Stuart.
Thanks for talking to us, guys. Really appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks, Stuart.
That was Stig Abel and Liam Fisher telling us all about Times Radio, and I get the feeling there'll be more big stories to come from them over the next few months. Watch this space. Still to come here on the Radio Today programme this week, David Lloyd's Radio Moments. That's after a reminder about Clean Feed. If you're doing OBs, interviews, co-hosting your show from somewhere different, getting a guest on your podcast, Clean Feed has been designed for radio people and for podcasters, and it's a really simple way to connect live audio over the web in great quality, and you can even record within the browser as well. So swap out Skype or FaceTime and try CleanFeed. It won't cost you anything to get started. It'll just take 30 seconds to sign up, and you'll be doing your first live interview or recording within a few minutes. Find out more about it at cleanfeed.net.
It's said to be the longest-running factual programme in the history of radio. It began this week 78 years ago.
In this programme, a well-known person is asked the question, if you were to be cast away alone on a desert island, which 8 gramophone records would you choose to have with you? Assuming, of course, that you also had a gramophone and an inexhaustible supply of needles. The programme's introduced by Roy Plumley.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? On our desert island on this occasion is a large man with a flourishing moustache.
That doesn't sound real, does it? But it was Desert Island Discs, devised by Roy himself there, an idea he dreamt up in the night. Derek Drescher was a long-serving producer.
We used to allow an hour and a half going through the records with them. If they didn't know which version of a symphony they wanted, I'd bring 4 varied versions along and make them listen to all bits from all 4 and say, you know, we've got to choose one, we're not going to choose it. So it was a very personal thing, and we really gave the music a great importance.
It wasn't until years later that the Bible and Shakespeare were provided, whether the guests wanted them or not, and also you began to be offered the choice of a luxury that wasn't in at the beginning. Happy birthday, Desert Island Discs. Stunting is something which was part of radio's promotional armoury for decades, arguably dating back to the famous War of the Worlds, all-too-real dramatisation in 1938.
Ladies and gentlemen, following on the news given in our bulletin a moment ago, the Government Meteorological Bureau has requested the large observatories of the country to keep an astronomical watch on any further disturbances occurring on the planet Mars. Due to the unusual nature of this occurrence, we have arranged an interview with a noted astronomer, Professor Pearson, who will give us his views on this event. In a few moments, we will take you to the Princeton Observatory at Princeton, New Jersey. We return you until then to the music of Ramon Raquello and his orchestra.
Since then, we've had loads of radio stunts. KSOL famously used station vehicles to block traffic on the San Francisco Bridge during rush hour, whilst a presenter got a haircut. That was following reports that Bill Clinton had delayed takeoff from Air Force One whilst he had a haircut. In New York, we had Sex for Sam, where listeners could win prizes for documenting sex in public places. And we've had, some naked weddings. We've had the lie detector. But perhaps one of the most famous British radio stunts culminated this week 21 years ago on Birmingham's BRMB.
Okay, so this is the deal then. You marry the complete stranger on Monday. You have got Monday free, haven't you, just in case it's you?
Yeah.
You don't have to go to work or anything like that. Okay, good. So they marry the complete stranger. They won't have met until they get to the altar. Are you fine with that?
No problem.
Yeah? Mad, absolutely mad. That's the thing. They get married, then they have the honeymoon of a lifetime. You go off to this top resort, off to basically the Bahamas, to Nassau, super inclusive resort on the island of Nassau. Breezes.
Gregory, will you have Carla to be your wedded wife and to share your life with her?
I will.
Carla, will you have Gregory to be your wedded husband and to share your life with him?
Hello.
Having both made the necessary declarations, you are now married to each other, husband and wife together.
Right, here we go then, world exclusive with the new bride and groom, Carla and Greg. Carla first, well, congratulations, you're a married woman.
I am, yes, thanks very much.
What do you make, I mean, come on, is this some kind of big stunt on your behalf or... Do you look at that man and think...
They just love the way he accuses her of being part of a stunt. Two Strangers and a Wedding on BRMB. They didn't stay together, but the bride, of course, famously did marry the programme presenter. Stunting these days, of course, much rarer, certainly in the UK. It's more cautious these days, and possibly emotion and authenticity have taken over. What more can we say of Terry Wogan? We lost him 4 years ago, but his place in radio history is forever.
Some news just in. Sir Terry Wogan, one of the best loved presenters on Radio 2, has died. He was 77 and had been suffering from cancer. Bob Shannon, the controller of Radio 2, said Terry established himself as one of the greatest and most popular radio hosts this country has ever heard.
Hello, this is Mark Goodyear with you today on Radio 2 as we remember Sir Terry Wogan, who passed away early this morning. He was one of the foundations on which Radio 2 was built and so much loved. And I'd like to invite you to share your memories of Terry for the next couple of hours as we play some of his favourite music.
Today, it's a sort of a two-way ceremony. The sun is coming down from the sky. It would be a big surprise if it came off from the pavements. But up there on the roof, clad in gingham gowns and the prettiest of dresses, some of our very senior executives of the BBC, and of course in front of them, held on a great ceremonial chair, the DG himself. Good morning, Sir Charles. Good morning. Don't wave, sir. You'll fall. Oh. They've picked him up and put him back on the chair again, and now we're going to hear a two-way chant exchanged between Broadcasting Heights, or BH as we call it, and TC, or Television Centre, as you call it, in the White City, an answering chant all the way across London for more money for the licence fees, a plea to Aura, the great ear in the sky. Here it comes. The first voice you'll hear will be that of the present incumbent, DG.
Some issues just never change, do they? Words, pictures from Terry Wogan, who died this week in 2016. In Bristol, FTP launched in 1990.
These transmissions are in preparation for the new independent local radio service for the Bristol area, which will be provided by FTP as the IBA's contractor.
Then after a year, under the Chiltern Radio Group, it became the first ever Galaxy this week, 29 years ago. It then went on to become a huge regional licence.
Good morning from Galaxy 101. We are serving the Metroplex 16 to 8. There go the Eurythmics. And right by your side.
The following commercial break contains examples of the sort of advertisements which will be broadcast by Galaxy 101 from its launch on the 4th of September. These are sample advertisements only, broadcast on this frequency without payment.
From what I recall, revenues never flooded into Galaxy, even when we were allowed to take cash. The Galaxy brand began this week 29 years ago. It lasted 20 years. Janice Long is now heard on BBC Radio Wales, but this week 2 years ago, she was not very happy.
Fatboy Slim and Praise You. So I just wanted to thank Mark. I want to thank all of my friends, Chris, obviously Paul and my family. Thank you very, very much indeed. I want to thank all of the bands who, when I've approached them, said, would you like to come in and play live? They've been well up for it. And I want to thank you because I've made some great friendships with you all. It's been fantastic. I know so many people all over the UK and all over the world who have been very kind to me, and I really appreciate all your support and all of your emails, and I thank you for your time.
Janice Long ending her Radio 2 days. So with the launch of BBC Radio Blackburn 49 years ago,
here's your station manager, John Musgrave.
Well, I'm sure many of you will recognise that voice, the voice of Tom Naseby. For more than 23 years, the BBC senior announcer in Manchester.
The birth of Blackburn, 77 years ago.
This is the international giant. Wonderful Radio London. The time is 2 o'clock, so let's check the weather together.
City Talk, beginning 12 years ago.
I've got to be honest, we were quite calm about this until that incredible build-up. And you've got Paul McCartney, you've got government ministers.
4 minutes to City Talk.
You've got...
Radio 2, going 24 hours at last, 41 years ago.
When the network opens up again at 5 o'clock, it's not due to close down again.
And 24-hour broadcasting means that Radio News will, for the first time, be able to offer full round-the-clock coverage.
And the BBC Trust asking the BBC itself to think again about its proposed local radio cuts this week, 7 years ago. I think we'll be cutting and pasting these articles very soon. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David and Roy, and guests this week, Stig Abel and Liam Fisher from Times Radio, and our surprise birthday boy, Tony Blackburn, as well. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Tony. Next week, it's our February Roundtable edition. Trevor, Dan and guests will be here with plenty to talk about, so please do join us for that.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.